Well, so Pastor has labeled Wednesday night School of Healing. What is school for? Who can tell me? What is school for? Why do we go to school? We go to learn. Are you ready to learn? Are you ready to receive something into your spirit that you didn't have when you were walking in here? Right? Because Holy Spirit is ready. Holy Spirit is ready. He is always ready. He is always willing. But sometimes we go to school and we're just kind of like, putting on a lip gloss. In Mexico, they say, witty, 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 witty. Witty, 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 witty. That means, chitter, 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 right? We're passing notes, or there's the famous cell phone one. Right? So we're not going to do that tonight, are we? Because we want to learn, right? There is expectation in the house. Can you feel it? There is expectation in the house. And when God's people come into his house or come into his presence with expectation, what happens? He shows up, right? The word says that wherever his word is preached, right? Whenever you go and you do this, the word says that signs and wonders will follow. I am believing for signs and wonders tonight. I am believing that in the school of healing, we are going to see healings. We are going to see God move, and the testimonies are going to begin to roll in. They're going to begin to roll in. So you better get a journal and you better start writing down what God says, and you better start getting prepared to write down the testimonies so that you can go back through it and we can keep an account of what God is doing. Oh, praise the name. Precious Lord, we just come before you tonight with great expectation. Lord, we should always come before your throne, before your presence, with great expectation. But Lord, there is even more expectation in this house than normal, because you have set before us a plan for this year. You have set before us a school of healing, Lord, because you want your body healed. It's your desire that your body walk in health and vigor and strength, that we walk in your anointing and your presence, that the world sees you in us. And we are ready. We are hungry. We are ready to see you move. Holy Spirit, I don't care what I have in my head. You do what you have in yours. You do according to your purpose and according to your will. This is your time, not our time, not my time. This is your time, Holy Spirit. You have orchestrated this. You have spoke to Pastor. You have set this up. Now have your way, Holy Spirit. Move according to your purposes, and to you be all the honor and all the glory forever and ever, Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm not real good at titling messages, and I've said this before, and so this didn't have a title. And I was looking back over it, going over it this afternoon, and just praying, and like, okay, Lord, you got a big game here. You're gonna win. You're gonna do it. You're gonna hit it out of the park. What are we calling it? What are you calling it? Because I don't know what to call it. I just put School of Healing, Lord. And the Lord brought me back to one of the verses that we're going to go over tonight. And he gave me the title, Healing, the Vindication of the Lord. So wait till we get to that verse, and I'll let you know when we're there. Praise the Lord. So if you will go with me in your Bibles to Luke chapter 4. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you, precious Father. I'm not going to read this for word at this part. I'm going to just kind of give a synopsis, okay? So the Lord went down to Capernaum, to the city of Galilee, and he was teaching in the synagogues there and preaching with his anointing and with his authority that the people marveled at, right? Because the way he taught the word was not how they had heard it before. The way he spoke, the way he taught out of the Torah just wasn't what they or how the people were used to receiving it at that time. And they marveled at the way he taught. They marveled at the way he brought forth the word of God. And it says, so we're going to just jump to verse 33. And it says, now in the synagogue, there was a man who had a spirit of an unclean demon. And he cried out with a loud voice saying, let us alone. What have we to do with you, Jesus of Nazareth? Did you come to destroy us? Oh, right there. Right there. We got to stop. Okay, Holy Spirit. It says, did you come to destroy us? Who was saying that? The demon. So what did the demon know? He knew that Jesus had the power to destroy them. Way back then, what does that mean for today? We have the power to destroy the works of the enemy. There is no demon that can come against the people. I'm preaching out of my clothes. Oh my gosh. That's a first. I've never had that happen. It's going to stop at the tunic. Be okay. Be at peace. Be at peace. So this verse is telling us that there is no demon then, there is no demon now, that the power of God, the anointing of God, does not have the power to destroy, to break, to stop, praise the Lord. That is an important verse. That is a verse that excites me. And I have read this I don't even know how many times, and it's never hit me like it's hit me now. The power to destroy. Jesus didn't say who he was. He didn't walk in there and say, hum, I am Jesus. Hear me roar. Yeah. He didn't have to say a word, but the word of God. He only had to speak what was in the Torah. He only had to talk the word, and Satan knew who he was and was already afraid of him, was already questioning, are you going to destroy me? What's your plan here, Jesus? What you going to do? Because he knew that there was power in the house. Does the enemy know when you're around that there is power in the house? Because he should. That's right. Because the power and the authority of Jesus Christ, the authority to destroy the work of the enemy that no demon can stand against, lives in you and me. Woo! You don't have to convince the enemy of that. You have to convince yourself, because he already knows it. He knows if you believe it or not. And if you believe it, he knows. And I can guarantee you, he's afraid just like he was of Jesus. Because it's the same power that rose Jesus from the grave, the same power, hallelujah, lives in you and I. But Jesus rebuked him saying, be quiet and come out of him. And when the demon had thrown him in their midst, it came out of him and did not hurt him. And they were all amazed and they spoke among themselves saying, what a word this is. For what authority and power he commands the unclean spirits, and they come out. The people did not understand or recognize the authority, but the enemy did. Doesn't matter if people recognize who you and I are. Doesn't matter who they see. It's just Janine. Yep, just Janine. That's the truth. I am just Janine. It's not in Janine's authority I speak, not in Janine's authority I walk, not in Janine's name do I do these things. It is in the authority in the name of Jesus Christ. Nobody ever has to know what my name is as long as they see Jesus. And the enemy, he knows. He already knows. Hallelujah. 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 So tonight I'm going to speak to you about different kinds of sickness. Hallelujah. We have different kinds of sickness in the body, in the earth, in the world, but there's just one healer for all of it. You know, when you go to the doctor, if you've got a foot problem, they send you to a podiatrist. If you got a heart issue, they send you to a heart doctor. If you got a spine issue, they send you to a bone specialist, an ortho, right? But in the body of Christ, it's one healer. It's one doctor. It's one deliverer. It's one Holy Spirit that does the job. We don't have to diversify. We don't have to see 20 different people to get the full meal deal. We just come to Christ, and He is the full deal. He is all of it. In this body, we have physical illness. We have emotional illness. We have mental illness. We have spiritual illness. But Jesus is the healer of all sickness and all disease. It does not matter what is ailing you. Doesn't matter what part of your body. It doesn't matter if it's in your spirit or if it's in your mind or if it's in your emotions. What matters is that you know the one healer, Jesus Christ. Woo! I know this is supposed to be class, supposed to be teaching. God has a whole other thing going on here. Woo! So I want to talk to you about a type of sickness. It's called spiritual strongholds. A spiritual stronghold are illnesses that can affect you emotionally, physically, and mentally. Spiritual strongholds are obstacles and resistance to and against the truth, the Word of God, and God's plan being executed in your life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Harmful thought patterns, arrogant attitudes, worldly messages that leave a lasting impression on Christians' minds and hearts, things rooted in pride leading to unhealthy thought patterns and habitual sin. Arguments, lofty opinions, thoughts raised against the knowledge of God. All these things are strongholds. And we need to become aware of strongholds. Sickness is a stronghold. A stronghold is anything that asserts itself or raises itself up in your life, impeding or stopping the word of truth from penetrating your life, or anything that keeps you from moving forward in what God has for you. And sickness does that. How many times have we been sick and said, oh, I can't make it. I can't go. I'm too sick. How many times have we said, I could just be better if I didn't have to live with this sciatica. I could just serve God better if I didn't have to deal with this or with that. I'd be a better Christian if I could do this better. You being a better Christian has nothing to do with that. Hallelujah. It's a stronghold that needs broken. Anything that is robbing us, that is a habitual thing in our life, is a stronghold. And we need to recognize it as that and break that power of that stronghold in us, that stronghold that's keeping us from moving forward in our life. How many times have we said, I can't. I'm just not that kind of person. I'm just not good enough. I just don't have that kind of a whatever it takes. That's a mental stronghold. That's a stronghold that says you're not good enough, just like you are. And you know, the enemy will keep us down with that as long as we allow him to. And so what has to change? Our mental image of who we are. You are the righteousness of God. You are the light of the earth. You are the salt of the earth. Unless we don't believe it. Unless we allow a stronghold blocking us from receiving that truth into our life. And sometimes we do. Now, only a few of you in this room remember me pre-Mexico very much. And I had hang-ups. I had hang-ups. A lot of them. And they all began with, I can't do that. I'm not good enough. There's something wrong with me. There's something broken in me, and I know it. Oh, I can't. The Lord would speak to me and give me a message, and I'd weigh it in my head, and I'd, okay, I can do this. I'm going to count to three, and I'm going to go. I'm going to just get up, and I'm going to go. One, two, Okay, well, maybe not. Maybe this isn't God. Okay, Satan, I rebuke you. I command your voice silent. And then the Lord would say, go. Oh, go. Okay, here we go. Ready? We're going to do this. Ready? One, two. Yeah, I don't know. Maybe you should get somebody who's better than me. I'm not really good at this. I'm just Janine. I'm just Janine. And I'm going to get up there and I'm going to be so nervous. I'm going to wet my pants. That's a just Janine thing, Lord. I can't do it. That's a stronghold. I am seeing myself as the enemy has said I am versus through who God says I am. Just before we moved to Mexico, the Lord healed me of that mentality. I had a victim mentality. I had strongholds galore. And the Lord healed me of every single one of them. I didn't know what he had done. I didn't understand what he had done. But I knew he had done something. And the second I got to Mexico, they said, well, what do you want to do? I said, I just want to pray for people. You know, because I'm comfortable with that. I'm comfortable praying for people. I don't have to converse. I don't have to have a conversation. I don't have to do that girl thing. I just want to pray for people. And the pastor's wife looked at me and she said, that's wonderful. Then you'll preach. Oh, no. I can't do that. I don't even speak Spanish. I can't preach. She said, well, in Mexico, if you want to pray for the people, you have to first preach to the people. And I'm like, really? Well, what about a secretary in the Bible school? Does that require me, you know, preaching? Guess what they did? They didn't give me a job in the school as a secretary. They made me begin to preach the word of God. And as I stepped out and did it, I realized I was no longer who I was. That those strongholds no longer kept me from doing what I was called to do. Now, I'm still Janine. I realize in and of myself, I am not sufficient. But it's not upon my efficiency or sufficiency that I depend. It is his sufficiency. It is his efficiency. It is his authority that I began to do what he called me to do. It has nothing to do with me except obedience. Unless I let the enemy put strongholds over me and stop me from fulfilling what God has called me to fulfill. So stop and think for 1 minute right now. Debbie, God is speaking to you, just saying. What stronghold is the enemy keeping your mind bound and stopping you up from fulfilling your calling, the call that fills your heart, the call that burns inside of you? That is from God. The stronghold is to stop you from stepping into this. But you are here to be set free from that, to walk in what God has called you to walk in. The enemy uses his spirits against us. He uses our emotions. He uses our bodies. He uses our thoughts. Whether it's sickness of the body, the mind, the spirit, he uses those things as weapons to control and to manipulate our lives. But Jesus is the answer. There is no stronghold that the Spirit of God cannot break. It doesn't matter how new. It doesn't matter how old. What matters is that you know the one who has the power. And you know the one who has the authority to break those things off your life. Woo! Jesus gave us the answer. Through him, we became the adopted children of the Most High God, the adopted children of the one true God, the adopted children of the Creator of the heavens and the Creator of the earth. We became his children through what Christ Jesus did for us. And in Isaiah 53:5, the word says that by his stripes we were healed. That means what he did over 2,000 years ago still applies to today. It still works to today. It still stands in authority and power today for his children. Woo! The question is, do you believe it? Do you believe it for your life right now, today? Doesn't matter what aches you feel. Do you know this is the first time my teeth have not ached today? Right now, in this moment. Right now, in this moment. I've had a headache all day. I've been fighting. No, I'm healed. I'm standing on that healing. I don't care what I feel in these teeth. I am healed. I don't care what I feel. And right now, for the first time today, I have no headache. My jaws are not throbbing. Do we believe what he says for us? Even when the enemy comes against us. Even when we feel that ache or we feel that pain, do we accept it back or do we stand on the promise? You know, when I'd been gone to Mexico about a year, I came back for a visit here, and I was ministering in some services, and the Lord said, pray for that person, I'm going to heal them. And I did, and he did his thing. And someone came to me and gave me a word after the service, and the word went something like this. God's going to use you for healing. You have healing in your hands. You are to minister healing. And I went home and I thought, okay, I believe that, but I have a problem with that because I have a sickness. I have a disease that has been in my body my whole life, and I am in my 30s. So how am I supposed to go and lay hands on people and pray for healing when I am still afflicted? And the Lord said, no, you're not. And I said, I beg to differ. I have the evidence right here in this body. And the Lord did one of his God things. And in one moment, in a small span of time, I saw the very first time God healed me. I was a teenager the very first time God healed me. And then a few weeks later, I took it back. And then I went up for prayer again as a woman. And God healed me again, and I took it back. And the Lord said to me, every time my work showed through, you took back the lie of the enemy. And it crushed me. How could I have done that, Lord? How? How did I do that? And of course, he showed me. Because every time a symptom, every time something showed up that was connected to that sickness and disease, it was called polycystic ovarian disease. And so every time a symptom popped up of that disease, I just went, oh, okay, I'm not healed. Lord, I really had high hopes this time. Every time I go to that altar, I believe. And the Lord said, well, clearly not enough. Reminded me of the man that said to the Lord, Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. And so this night, it was just me. The kids were staying in the house, and I was out in my mom and dad's camper. We were staying at their house on Sydney, their adult family home. And so it was just me in that camper that night. I began to cry out, and I began to pray. And I thought, okay, then show me. Show me. And he showed me everything. And so at the end, the accumulation of our conversation, I told the Lord at the end, sometime in the wee hours of the morning, I said, okay, here's what we'll do. Gideon laid a fleece, I'm going to lay a fleece. Not because I don't believe you, but because I want the proof. I said, here's the thing. I'm going to go home and throw away all my medication. What I want you to do is convince Scott it's okay. Because just after I'm home, maybe a week, all of those medications are going to come due to refill. And Scott's on it. He is a firm believer. You refill them with meds. And so I'm going to have a conversation with him. And unless you intervene, it's going to go something like this. No way. And so I got home. I'd been home a few days. And I said, hey, Scott, something happened to me. While I was in Washington, I really need to talk to you about it. He was at his computer working. He said, okay, let's talk. And I said, well, don't you think you need to stop to have this conversation? He's like, no, I can do this, what I'm doing. I'm just working on some mission stuff. We can do this and talk. I said, well, as long as you're sure. And I told him about my night with God and what God said. And he's like, you need to listen to God. Absolutely. If God said you're healed, you throw those meds away. I'm like, that was the word, Lord, and I threw those meds away. I have been healed ever since. Ever since. I was in Mexico 19 years and I've been home, what, 5? You do the math. And there were days, there were moments, there were times where I could feel something stirring in my body. And I would get up in the morning and I always went to the bathroom because that was like the private room, right? It's the only room people didn't follow me into. They tried, but it had a lock. So I'm in there and I'm in that bathroom and it's just me and God time. And I'm like, okay, God, I'm looking at the mirror. Okay, God, body, in the name of Jesus, line up to the word of God. You are healed and it's done now. And I'd go about my day. And lo and behold, if the symptoms didn't go away. That happened several times. But what changed was me. Because God had done the healing clear back when I was a teenager, right? And I kept taking it back on. This time, I knew that I knew that I knew. What had happened? I had a conversation with God. Have you ever had a conversation with God? Have you ever read the word? These verses, these are conversations with God. This is God speaking to you. If you'll receive it in, there's healing that comes from receiving the word in. I received his word in and my body is still evident today of his healing power, of the work he first did when I was a teenager. Hallelujah. In Isaiah 54:17, this is a prophecy. This is a prophecy of the day Christ will fulfill the role of the Jewish Messiah. This is the Lord speaking to his people. And it says, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. Sickness, disease is a weapon in the hand of the enemy. And this verse says, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. This word says, then every tongue which rises against you in judgment, you shall condemn. What does the enemy do? But rises in judgment against us. You're not worthy. You're not healed. You can't be healed. You're just Janine. She's not worthy of healing. Who are you that God would heal you? Really, what do you have to give? That's a word of the enemy, and we have to condemn that voice. We have to condemn that word. We have to break the power of those lies over us. Because when we believe those lies, they become strongholds over our bodies and over our minds and over our spirits. And we begin to become sickly in life and in our flesh and in our spirits because we've allowed a stronghold to form because it's a lie against the truth of God. And we have to break the power of those lies. And it says, this is one of my favorite parts, listen to this. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord. It is your heritage that no weapon formed against you will prosper. It is your heritage that you have the power and the authority to break the judgments of the enemy against you. It is your heritage. Listen to what it says next. And their righteousness is from me. Let me read that to you in the New Living Translation. I got ahead of myself because it excites me. In the New Living Translation, it uses the word, and their vindication is from me. Their vindication. Vindication is the act of God proving the innocence-ness or the righteousness of his children. When we walk in healing and we accept healing, we are the vindication of God against the word of the enemy. And we step into the righteousness of God. Woo, that's exciting. I like vindication. I like vindication. I like to be the vindication of God. His act of proving my innocence-ness, of installing over me, empowering me with his righteousness. That is powerful. That is good. Woo, and what's it end with? Says the Lord. This is God's word to you and me. It's His promise to us and for us. But we have to believe it. And we have to fight for it. We can't let the lies of the enemy rob us of what is our inheritance in the Lord. Woo! If someone came to you and gave you a check for $1 million and said all you have to do is prove it's yours, would you do it? Right? Who wouldn't do it? This is worth so much more than $1 million. This is your inheritance. It's your heritage. It's your right. Don't give it up to the enemy for believing a lie. Right? Whoo! Remember that song that we sing? That same power that rose Jesus from the dead lives in us. That is a true song. That is a real thing. His power lives in you and I. His presence, His power, and His presence and power comes with benefits and a heritage. Whoo, Christ's power. We have benefits from the power of Christ living in us. We have a heritage in Him. James 1:25 says, but he who looks into the perfect law of liberty, what that means is he who studies the word of God, the word of liberty, the word of freedom. What is freedom? To not be a captive or held by the enemy. What is sickness? An enemy. An enemy of our bodies, an enemy of our minds, an enemy of the spirit, an enemy of God, right? So he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, hallelujah, continues in it, believes it, studies it, knows it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. Are you hearing the word tonight? Are you identifying the stronghold that the enemy is trying to use against you and browbeat you with and manipulate you with? Are you hearing the word? Are you hearing you have the authority and the power to break that? And it's in His word. It is His word. Are you hearing the word? This is so good because the one who studies the word becomes free of the strongholds because he knows the word and he's got it stored up in his heart. Do you know that when we're convinced of the word, when we have got it stored in our heart so deep that the enemy can't take it away, we see things differently. Things begin to change in our life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Proverbs 18:21 says, death and life are in the power of the tongue. What we believe, we confess. And what we confess, we live. The law of sowing and planting, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Right? So when we say, I can't, it's just Janine, it's just me, I'm not good enough, I'm just not that kind of person. We are raising up strongholds. We're coming, teaming up with the enemy against ourselves. Against what God has for us. What God called us to. But God has a totally different plan. You know, when I hit about 13 or 14, I became very shy, right? But when I was a child, there was nothing shy about me. I got lost at a Knott's Berry Farm, I'm told. I don't remember. And my parents couldn't find me anywhere. They were panicking. Where did she go? And I was sitting on a bench, not far from really where they were, sitting with a couple of bums, I'm told, sharing my popcorn and conversing. Is that the action of a shy person? Why is it when we're children we're not shy at all? But once we get old enough to understand criticism and to have felt it, we suddenly become shy. Right? Life experiences put a stronghold over us, and we like to call it shy, because we've experienced rejection. And if we can say we're shy, that means we don't have to put ourselves in a place of rejection, and that makes it all okay. Except it keeps us living under a stronghold of the enemy. It keeps us in agreement with what the enemy spoke versus what God has spoke. I didn't live under that bondage when I was a kid. I came unto it when I understood what criticism and rejection were. At about 15, I learned all about that. And in my 30s, the Lord set me free from it. Not because I don't want to be liked. I do. Don't get me wrong. I do. I want everybody to love me. I want to be the most important one in the room. You're awesome, right? But reality is, it doesn't really matter if I'm not, because the one who really, 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 really counts, he loves me. He loves me so much, he died for me. And I'm really just here to do his job. I'm just here to work. You know, so back in the day, I couldn't do gatherings. I couldn't do, you know, girl things. Or women things, slumber parties, retreats, and none of that, right? But what I could make myself do was work. I was a waitress. I started waitressing very young in my parents' restaurant. And I was a great waitress because it was a job. I wasn't presenting myself so much as presenting the restaurant. I was presenting my parents. It wasn't about me. It was about them. Right? And good food. That helps. And I was a fabulous waitress. So what I started doing, and I still do to this day because it's just so in me, is I began serving. I'd go to the kitchen and I'd wash the dishes, or I'd cook the food, my favorite thing to do. And I could be at gatherings because I was in the kitchen. Unless too many people came into the kitchen and began questioning me and I had to converse. But as long as I was serving, I could go pick up plates and cups and I could take it to the garbage. And I could, would you like anything else? Can I bring you something to drink? Would you like dessert now? I could do that. And you know what? When the Lord healed me of all of this, I can do it still. But now I do it joyfully because I want to show love, not because I'm trying to hide. My motive changed when the strongholds were broken. Because I suddenly saw myself, not as the enemy had told me I am, not as all the lies that he had spoke over me, but I saw myself suddenly as a daughter of God. And now I get to represent my daddy. And that's so much more important than me. And now I wait on people because I love to love people and because that's what God is, right? God takes care of people. So I can cook and I can clean and I can take your dirty plate and I can serve you something to drink with joy, because now I'm trying to love on you for my Father, so that he's seen, so that you see him, so that you feel his love. You know, healing begins with knowing and receiving and believing the Word of God. We must be careful what we're confessing. The things we're saying about ourselves. I don't say that I'm shy anymore. Not that there aren't moments it rises up and says, ooh, you can't do that, sister. It does. And I just say, ooh, it's not in my power. I'm doing it. Right? Because of my own, I can't do these things. But of his authority, in his name, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Philippians 4:13 says it. And because I know that verse, now I can't get away with saying, I can't do this. Because I know the word says I can do all things. And I can't get away with saying, oh, I feel so sick, I'm going to go to bed. I can't get away with it. Because I know the word says, by his stripes you were healed. Get your butt up and moving. I can't have the excuses that the strongholds gave me, because I know the word of God, which is the truth. And strongholds are simply lies I came into agreement with.
That's good.
Hallelujah. The Bible in Mark 11:23 says, for assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, what is sickness but a mountain? Something in the way of my going up the mountain. Something in the way of what God's called me to do. And if I say to that mountain, be cast into the sea, it has to go. Yeah. Sickness has to go because it's just a mountain. What do I have to do? Not doubt. Believe the word over what I feel, over what I see, over the lies of the enemy. That's my job. Hallelujah. Proverbs 12:24 says, this one is really good. The hand of the diligent will rule, but the lazy man will be put to forced labor. Okay, what's this mean? This means the one who works hard rules, and the one who's lazy is a slave. Think about this spiritually. The one who works hard rules, and the one who is lazy is a slave. When strongholds are formed in us, we become a slave to that mentality or to that stronghold. And how does that happen? Because somewhere we got lazy. Am I saying that we're sick because we're lazy? I might be. It's a total possibility. Because we stopped confessing the word. We stopped declaring the word. We stopped fighting the sickness. And we just succumbed to it. Do you know whenever now I feel, whenever I feel anything coming on, right? When I get to my bed at night, I tell the Holy Spirit, okay, Holy Spirit, I'm going to sleep. That means you've got to be vigilant. You have to confess for me. You have to pray over me. You have to strengthen this body because I can't fight the fight when I'm asleep. I'll take over as soon as my eyes are open. And do you know what? When I pray that to the Lord, I don't get sick in the night. But when I forget because I'm lazy, and I have a joke, my daughter and I have a joke, and the Lord has convicted me of it. Our joke is that we're lazy. And so you probably heard me say that. Well, I'm going to do it this way because I'm lazy. And the Lord said, stop confessing that. And so what we have to say now is, because I'm going to work smarter, not harder. Smarter, not harder. I'm not lazy. I'm smarter. So I don't have to work harder. Because what we confess, what we say matters. Oh, I'm so sick. Lord, in the name of Jesus, I refuse this sickness. I will not fall to it. It's just as easy to say as, oh, I feel so sick. I need to go to bed. Would I like a day in bed? Well, yeah. Do I have time for it? No. Hallelujah. What we confess matters. In Psalms 1, verse 2 and 3 says, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. This man, he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall not prosper. Do you know withering is a sign of sickness? When your plants begin to wither, there's a sickness. When Christians begin to wither, right? When we become, you know, not as sharp as we should be, it's a sign of weakness in us. Somewhere, we have partnered with the lies of the enemy, and we're no longer fighting for what is ours. And the enemy says to fight for what is your inheritance. Fight for what is yours. And this verse continues and says, and whatever he does shall prosper. Remember, we're talking about the man who feasts on the word, who believes the word, who meditates on the word. This shall be his life. This shall be him. Imagine a tree, a big tree. What does it give? It gives fruit. It gives shade. It feeds the people. Right? It gives shade. It gives comfort. Are we that tree? I think the speaker Sunday that was here, I think he mentioned something like this. And I was like, oh no, he didn't. I had it first. Who knows? But I had it down before he said it. It's because he lives the word. He claims the word. He declares the word. He knows the word. He knows who he is in God. And he knows who God is. What keeps us from meditation on the word of God? Lazy. Forgetful. Preoccupation. How about worry and stress? The very things that should push us to meditate on the word. The enemy uses to keep us from meditating on the word. Hallelujah. Because he uses these things against us. 2 Timothy 2:15 says, be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed. What worker should be ashamed? The lazy one. Right? The one who's not really doing the work. The one that looks like they might not know God. They sound like, ooh, not sure they know God. Right? That one should be ashamed. But the one who knows God, the one who confesses God, the one who lives to present themselves approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed because they're lazy or lackadaisical in their walk with the Lord. Because sometimes we are lazy. And sometimes we take it for granted that God is forgiving. And that God is good. And that his mercy is new every morning. It's like, well, you know, I can go do this. And, you know, tomorrow God will forgive me. Well, he might. But what might happen to you between then and tomorrow? That's something to fear. Right? To fear that moment that we've stepped out from under the covering of God. Whew, that wasn't in my notes. That's a freebie. Hallelujah. And so in the book of Luke, I'm going to paraphrase because I'm getting long. I'm sorry. This is so exciting. So in the book of Luke, chapter 4, verse 16. So Jesus came to Nazareth where he'd been brought up. And he went into the synagogue and he taught, as was his custom. And it was really good. You know, he opened the book to Isaiah where it reads, verse 18. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. This verse is for all of us. It is not just for the pastors. It is for every single one of us. And it says two very important things. One, the Spirit of the Lord is upon you. And two, he has anointed you for a purpose to preach the word of God. It does not have to be like this. It can simply be sharing the word of God over a cup of coffee or in a coffee shop or at the frozen food section of your grocery store. I mean, people meet up there all the time, right? To date. Why not have a little word moment? Doesn't have to be a dating game. Right? Hallelujah. It says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and to recover the sight of the blind. He set at liberty those who are oppressed. You to set at liberty those who are oppressed. This is not just speaking of Jesus. This is speaking of you now with Jesus. We always, you know, we want to put that off on everybody else. Well, that's just for the evangelists. Or maybe that's for the Sunday school teachers. Or maybe that's just for the pastors. It's not. That is for everyone who has received Christ Jesus into their heart and into their lives. Hallelujah. To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. Sickness and disease are just mountains and they are movable. You have the power to move them. You have the power to break strongholds. You have the anointing to see people healed and to see people set free. It doesn't matter how long you've been sick, a day, a year, since birth, since 20. That doesn't matter because it is the same healer and it's no different for him to heal those who were born that way to those who became that way. It's the same anointing, the same power. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The hand of the diligent will rule. Oh, it's time that we become the hand of diligent. We become the hand of Jesus and we begin to rule in our lives instead of being ruled by the lies and by the strongholds that the enemy has put on us, that he has convinced us of. Hallelujah. The hand of the diligent will rule. Whew, I should have titled it that. The hand of the diligent will rule. Jesus went to that sick man and he healed him right then and there. He didn't say, demon, what's your name? Let's have a talk. When did you first come? How long have you been there? None of that mattered to Jesus. What mattered was there is someone sick and there is someone in need. Boom, it's done. Yeah. Hallelujah. I'm going to share one more thing and then I'm going to stop. I have so much more. I just have to share one more thing. Okay, so in that same verse we were just reading, if you go further down, let's see. And so he sat down and they were all marveling. And in verse 23, then he said to them, you will surely say this proverb to me, physician, heal yourself. He was speaking of when they were crucifying him, right? That they were going to say that to him. Well, if you're the Son of God, take yourself down. And save us too, by the way, because, you know, we're really great people too, right? He was prophesying. And then listen, this is what he said in verse 25. He said, verse 24, we better go there. It says, then he said, assuredly, I say to you, no prophet is accepted in his own country. But I tell you truly, many widows were in Israel in the days of Elijah. When the heaven was shut up for 3 years and 6 months, there was great famine throughout all the land. But to none of them was Elijah sent except for to the widow in the region of Sidon. Why? Why was he sent to that widow that wasn't even a Hebrew? She wasn't even one of God's chosen. She was outside of that chosen. Why was Elijah sent to her that she should be sustained as well as Elijah sustained? Because we begin to take our prophets, our pastors, our preachers for granted. Oh, you know, it's just Bruce. He's just a man. It's just Janine. You know. Janine, right? They come, amen. People come to view you differently. You know, you're not the all-powerful servant of God that you once were. You're just Janine. And I was praying, Lord, why am I not seeing here? If you've brought me back here, which I'm cool with, we're good. But if you brought me back here, why am I not seeing what I saw there? Because at some point, I ceased to be the missionary and became just Janine. There's no expectation over me. There's no hunger to see God move through me because, you know, I'm just Janine. God sent the widow to the enemies of God because she would receive him. She would recognize God on him, even though it wasn't her God. She recognized the authority and the power of God in him. How often do we cease to recognize the power and the authority of God in people because we've had lunch together or we've had a slumber party or we've been to a retreat together and they're no longer a minister. They're just Janine. You are never just Marty or just Myrna or just Joan or just Rita or just Mary or just Janice or just Donnie or just Jill or just Debbie or just Tina. You are never just. Because the power and the authority of Jesus Christ lives in you, and you are His servant first and foremost. You are His first and foremost. And he says in verse 27, and there were many lepers in Israel in the time of Elisha the prophet, yet none of them were cleansed except Naaman. All those sick, thousands. And yet God had him heal Naaman, a non-believer. But do you know what Naaman did? He recognized after his little temper tantrum. He recognized God's authority in his servant, and he did what he was instructed to do. And then he took that healing and went back, and even their kingdom declared the God of Elisha, the God. How we view each other matters. How we look at each other matters. You know, there's a verse in the Bible that says, touch not my anointed and do my prophets no harm. Because it's so easy to forget who people are. It's so easy to just begin to see them as, you know, just Janine. Just Bruce. You know, just Zachariah. It's Zach. He's crazy. What's it matter? He's crazy. He'll do anything. Right? It's just Zach. You know, you've heard that before, haven't you? Right? We're never just a child of God. We are a child of God, and His anointing, His authority, and His power lives in us to break off all sickness and disease. It is our heritage to walk in health and strength and vigor up until the last breath we draw. But sometimes we choose not to. You know, not intentionally, I'm sure. But because we come into agreement with the lies of the enemy, right? So let's just take a moment. Let's everybody close their eyes in closing. Hallelujah. And if there is somewhere in your life where you have come into agreement with the lies of the enemy, let's break that right now. So as I pray, you can kind of pray along with me, because God doesn't take an hour to show you. If you have sincerely asked, I am telling you, He's already answering you, because God works fast, right? Precious Savior, and you say out in your heart, whatever your stronghold is, Lord, in this area, sickness, Father, I rebuke and I break the stronghold of sickness and disease in my body right now, Father. I choose to align myself with your will and with your word. I will not believe any longer the lies of the enemy. In fact, Lord, I reject every lie spoken over me right now. Every lie. I am worthy. I am the righteousness of God because of what Jesus did. I am the child of God, and I will not release any of my inheritance to the lies of the enemy. Work in me that truth, precious Savior, right now. Work in me that truth. Bring healing. Bring deliverance. Set me free from everything where I align myself to the lies of the enemy, Father. And let me stand upon your word only. Let me believe the truth of your word only in the name of Jesus. Thank you for my freedom, Father. Thank you for my freedom, because I know that Jesus came to set me free. In the name of Jesus, amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you for watching. Thank you for joining us here tonight. We are so, so glad to have you here. I'm going to share one little testimony, because the Lord said I has to. So Sunday, during our 30th year celebration, which was wonderful, it was phenomenal, we were singing that song, I sought the Lord and he heard and he answered. Oh, and it just, that song has been my song for months now, 4 months. But he rocked me on Sunday in that song because it suddenly hit me. The enemy said to me, "You're just Janine." And we were singing that song. I, just Janine, sought the Lord and he heard me and he answered me, just Janine, me, I sought the Lord and he heard and he answered. And it's that for you. When you seek the Lord, he hears you. No matter what the enemy has said about you, he hears you. And he answered. How incredible is the God of creation? How incredible is it that we, you, just me, should seek the Lord and him hear and him answer? And the verse after that is, that's why I trust him. And I always add to that. I say, that's why I trust him. And then I sing out with my grands very loudly, that's why I love him. And my grands, it's not love me, it's trust. Yes, I know. And I trust him. But it makes me love him that he heard me, little old me. And he answered. So know tonight that if you seek the Lord, he will hear you and he will answer, because you're never just a you when it comes to God, right? You're his child. You're his favored one. You're his masterpiece, and he always hears and he always answers you. Praise the Lord. Thank you. God bless you.